Good morning. Working okay? You can hear me okay? It's good. Well, it's great to be here this morning. Before we go any further, I just would like to say this. That was the most powerful communion message I've heard for years. And I believe that's exactly where we're at this morning. This is a reminder. This is a reminder of what God has done and what God is doing. So this morning, everything you hear this morning, I want you to hear through those ears. Those ears of what God has done for us and who God is and who we are to God. Because I believe God's doing a new thing. He's doing a new thing. And he needs to remind us of who we are and what we have to be able to go to the next place that he has for us. So let's pray this morning. And we're going to be excited about what God's doing today. Amen? Here we go. Lord, I just thank you that you never leave us stationary. That you don't just give us a Bible and say, that's yours, go for it. Lord, that every day you are taking us from one level to another level. That we are growing and we're learning and we're understanding more about you and we're coming into a place of revelation and learning how to be your children. So Lord, I just ask that you would guide us and show us today how you desire to walk through the journey of these next few days. That God, you would equip us and train us for your purpose in this season, this new season, this new time. Remind us today who we are, so that we can do well the job you've called us to do. I thank you for your blessing is upon us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, how's your peace level this morning? I must ask, how's your level of peace today? Because I'm sure that you would agree that we are living in crazy times. It's bizarre. It's an unusual time. You know, our society is changing very, very quickly, but none of us can really tell, and this is probably the first time I can ever remember, that we're starting a year really not knowing what this year will bring. We don't know whether in 2 months from now we're going to be locked down again. We don't know whether we're going to be able to travel overseas. We don't know whether this year will be a year of release and freedom, or whether this year will be a year of containment. We don't know. Our society is in a position like it's never been before. I think in my life, I've never seen so much uncertainty in our community. You know, I rang my brother the other day, or my brother rang me, and he lives in Melbourne. And you know, he's said he's been out a handful of times from his home in the last 10 months. He's got to the point where he doesn't want to go out. Our society is changing and people, you know, are getting out of the habit of going away from their homes. They're getting out of the habit of socializing. They're getting out of the habit of going to church. You know, we're entering into a season where our society needs to change. You know, things are changing quickly, very, very quickly. So what will this year hold? So more than ever, I believe our peace is challenged because of the unknown, because we don't know what's going on. You know, I have a friend who is a professional counselor, and he said that the amount of cases of anxiety and depression amongst Christians is staggering. Christians are more anxious and more depressed than they've ever been. And that's sad. That's really, really sad. So I would like to talk to you this morning about supernatural peace. You know, there will be some people in this room who have got this, who understand this, who have had the revelation of how this works. But there'll be other people who maybe need some help with this. So I hope that this speaks something to you. One day I was reading the Bible and I read this promise. Now this is Jesus speaking It's after he died and resurrected, just before he ascended into heaven, talking to his disciples. And this is a promise from Jesus. So I think we all need to listen and go, okay, this is important. And this is what Jesus said. So it's John 14, 27. It says, "Peace I leave with you." Now, why would Jesus say that? Out of all the things he could have said, he could have said, "I'm leaving you power, I'm leaving you authority, I'm leaving you good health, I'm leaving you whatever you need." No, he said, "I'm leaving you peace." He said, "My peace," not someone else's peace, Jesus's peace, "I give to you." And then he makes this amazing statement. He says, "Not as the world gives, do I give to you." So, nothing to do with the world. This is Jesus's peace, not the world's peace. "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." See, this is a special peace that Jesus is talking about. This is a supernatural peace. This isn't a peace that the world understands. See, there is nothing that the world can give to you that will guarantee you peace. Nothing. So if I was a multimillionaire and I came to you this morning and I said, "I'm going to give you $200,000 every year for the rest of your life," you'd think, "Woohoo! That'd give you a bit of peace. I no longer have to worry about how I make an income." You would think that that would be fantastic, wouldn't you? But then what happens when the day after that you get diagnosed with terminal cancer? What's that do to your peace levels? I thought about this and I thought, there is nothing that the world can give you that will give you ultimate peace. And unfortunately, being a Christian doesn't stop bad things happening to good people. I have a friend who is a pastor of a church. He was actually my mentor for many years. Wonderful guy named Pastor Mark Smorcombe. Pastored a church in Perth, Newcastle, went to San Francisco, pastored a church. Now he's pastoring a church in Cabo in Mexico. And just the other day got a quite severe strain of COVID and has pneumonia. And they were talking about him dying. Young guy. Healthy guy. Well, young guy, he's 10 years older than I am. Young guy. So, whether you're a Christian or not, the circumstances of your life are beyond your control. But the world isn't going to give you one thing that's going to sustain your peace or guarantee your peace. See, peace is found in knowing who Jesus is and your relationship to him. Let me show you why. Now, just I think in March last year, I used this same parable in a message that I preached here. So I do know more than one scripture, but this is just a really good example of what I'm talking about. This is Mark 3:35. It says, "On the same day when evening had come, he said to them," being his disciples, "let us cross across to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and the other boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace.'" Interesting thing to say. Is that what you'd say to a storm? Maybe. "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? Why is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the waves obey him?" Now, their peace was not founded in the fact that the wind stopped. Their peace was founded in who Jesus was. Who can this be? Who is this person that has control over natural elements? Who is this person that can actually release us from our fear? knowing who Jesus was gave them their peace. And unless you ever had a revelation, you will live outside of supernatural peace. Unless you know who Jesus is and his relationship with you, you will live outside of supernatural peace. Because unless you have total trust in what Jesus has promised you and who he is, you'll live outside of supernatural peace. And I'll explain this. See, it's interesting that in the Old Testament, even before Jesus lived on the face of the earth, the supernatural peace was already preempted. It says in Isaiah 9:6, it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting, Prince of Peace." So Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Peace is part of his name. It's part of who he is called. It's part of what the angels heralded he would be. And then it goes on to say this, "Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end." You see, as the end times roll on, his government will increase and his peace will increase. Why? Because we're going to need it. As things get crazier, we need a peace that goes far greater than natural peace, far greater than what we can understand in our own natural understanding. You know, there will be an increase in peace available to the sons and daughters of Christ as the end times roll on. Remember, he's the Prince of Peace. And the angels heralded him that way. They said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace and goodwill to all men." Now, that's not natural peace. Because at that time, Jerusalem was currently occupied by the Romans. They weren't even in a time of peace. And the angels came and they said, "Glory in the highest, and on earth, peace and goodwill to all men." Jesus came as the Prince of Peace. See, this is supernatural peace that doesn't depend on our circumstances. Philippians 4, verse 6 says this. It says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything," "but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts." So it's the peace of God that surpasses understanding. The peace of God that goes beyond your own natural understanding, goes beyond what the world can give you, will guard your hearts and minds. We need that peace. This is the season we need that peace. When we don't know what's going on, when the world doesn't know what's going on, we need a peace that surpasses all understanding to guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This is the only way we're going to be released from anxiety and depression and make sure we stay out of those places. The peace that surpasses all understanding. See, Jesus doesn't just bring peace. It says in Ephesians 2:14, "For he himself is our peace." You see the difference? He just doesn't come and minister our peace. He is our peace. So the more we understand who he is and the more we understand the relationship that he's purchased for us, the more we will be released automatically into that peace. That's been my understanding. I'm not sure whether you would agree, but I'm sure if you walk down the path long enough, you know that the more you understand and know who Jesus is, the more that peace that surpasses understanding takes over our lives. Remember, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." He is the Prince of Peace. If you're looking for peace, real peace, that surpasses your understanding of what is possible, it is found in Jesus. Now, I'm not saying I've got there yet, that I've arrived, but I've found that I have come a long way in my Christian walk. I was a person who was not filled with peace. But I made a discovery one day, and this helped me a lot to understand how this works. I read this scripture, and this is Romans 14:17, and it said, "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking." Okay? So it's not about rich or poor. It's not about sick or well. It's not about working or unemployed. It's not about married or single. But it says that the kingdom of God is about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, as a son of the kingdom of God, I have a birthright to those things. Are you a son and daughter of the kingdom of God this morning? Well, righteousness, peace, and joy is your birthright. It should belong to you. It's part of your inheritance. You see, I cannot create righteousness, peace, or joy in my own life. That's a fact. I've tried that. You cannot produce righteousness, peace, and joy in your own life. I'm talking about the supernatural stuff that sustains you. I just need to receive them as a gift, as part of my inheritance into the kingdom of God. They are part of the kingdom package. They're like the steak knives. They come with the gift. It's part of what you receive in the kingdom. You know, well, how can you be expected to experience righteousness, peace, and joy if you can't gain them yourself? Because they're free gifts as part of the kingdom. Now, I found out how this works through a revelation of righteousness. So I'm going to use righteousness as an example of how this works. But righteousness, peace, and joy are three things that are contained in the same package. Now, this was what was happening. I had a head full with sexual thoughts. I've communicated that with you before, and I've talked about this sort of stuff with you before. And I struggled in my mind in sexual thoughts. So I struggled to feel righteous. I felt very unrighteous. I was a Christian. I was learning the things of God. I was, you know, might be leading a home group, and I was in worship teams, and I was struggling with righteousness. And I mean, God, I need to be righteous, but I've got these thoughts going on in my head, and I felt filthy. I felt unworthy. I felt like I wasn't worthy to do what God's calling me to do. But I knew that God wanted me to be righteous. And one day I read that scripture that said, for the kingdom of heaven is not about eating and drinking, but it's about righteousness, peace, and joy. And I realized that righteousness was mine. That it was mine to take as a gift. Because I can't make myself righteous. So what happened one day is after being really disgusted with myself over something, I got down on the floor and I had a self-deliverance session with myself. And I had a revelation of righteousness. And I got up off the floor and I felt, well, maybe I am righteous. Maybe this is mine. Maybe this is part of the kingdom package that I can just receive. And I got up and I stood with my shoulders back and I thought, maybe I am righteous. And you know what? The more that I felt like I was righteous, the more like I became righteous. And that righteousness stopped me sinning because I was enjoying that righteousness so much that I didn't want to sin to lose that righteousness. It's like all I did was take it. I just received it. And it changed my life. I never went back to that place. You see, Romans 5:18 says this. It says, therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteousness, being Jesus, his act, the free gift came to all men. the free gift, resulting in justification of life. For as one man's disobedience made many sinners, also so by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. That was me. Through Jesus' obedience and who he was, I became righteous. And it changed the world. We need to know that righteousness, peace, and joy isn't something you can work out on your own. I tried for years to be righteous. I never got that much closer. Righteousness, peace, and joy is part of the kingdom package. Romans 14:17 says, "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." I can't create my own peace. It's something I just need to receive. In John 14:27, I remind you that Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give you." Well, I want to explain to you what's the difference between the peace that Jesus brings and the peace that the world would like to give you. And this is 1 Corinthians 15:50. "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruptible, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruptible, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall we brought to pass the saying that is written, 'Death is swallowed up in victory.'" Verse 55, "O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory?" Verse 56, "The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us victory through Jesus Christ." Now, I've noticed this, that if you can take away the power of death, you can have peace. Because as long as death has power over you, you will always be anxious and fearful. But if this life is just a warm-up for the real thing, if your eternal life is more real to you than this life, then nothing in this life can take away the peace that you're going to experience in that life to come. You understand what I'm saying? Is that if you can overcome the sting of death, then you can have peace now in this life, and nothing can shake that peace. Nothing that this life can dish up can steal your peace. See, Romans 6:3 says, "Do you not know that as many as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we should also be in the likeness of his resurrection." See, the peace that Jesus gives us that surpasses all understanding only comes through receiving his resurrection life. Is this making sense to you? See, unless we can come to the place where what happens after death is more important, what happens after death is our priority, that's where we're going, then nothing in this world can touch us. Whether we're financial, whether we're married, whether we're not, whether we're healthy, whether we're not, that it becomes far and far less important, Because what happens after our death is the important thing. We really need to understand what God has done for us. 2 Timothy 1:10 says, This has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. But we need to know he has forgiven our sins, and we need to have faith that you are his son and his daughter. You need to know it. See, this morning, we need to know and understand that you're forgiven. You need to know and understand that Jesus purchased your freedom and eternal life. You need to know and understand. This is a reminder, as Pastor Stuart said. You need to know and understand that your eternal life is far greater than what you will ever experience in this brief passage of time. It becomes unimportant. Eternity becomes the priority. And you know, when we focus our hearts on eternity, we can start to have peace about what happens now, because Jesus has it under control. You know, Jesus made this promise. He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also, and where you go, you know." And where I go, you know, and the way you will know. If that is your reality, this life can't take your peace, because it's a supernatural peace. It's a peace that Jesus brings to us. O death, where is your sting? Romans 8:6 says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." So once you have settled that God is in control of your finance, health, family, safety, you can relax also and know that he has your death under control. See, I know what it's like to be worried about where my next dollar's coming from. I know what it's like to fear about my health. I know what it's like to have anxiety about situations of life. But if I consider this, that Jesus knows, and my life is secure in him, and the instant that my life is finished, I go to be with him in paradise, and he's prepared a place for me, and he's left me a promise to say that that's going to be better than I could ever experience here, then that's where my peace is found. So riding the storms of life becomes a very different prospect. Paul got this. Paul the Apostle got this. In Philippians 1:20, he said, "Now also Christ be magnified in my body, whether by my life or by my death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit for my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell, for I'm hard pressed between the two. Having a desire to depart and be with Christ is far better." Did you hear that? "Is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you." When we truly believe that our eternity is far greater than whatever we can experience here, we can have peace through all circumstances. If righteousness, peace, and joy is part of the kingdom package that is yours, that all you need to do is receive, you notice how I haven't spoken about supernatural joy this morning? You know why? Because I've never had a revelation on supernatural joy. I've had a revelation on supernatural righteousness, and I've had a revelation of supernatural peace, but I have never had a revelation on supernatural joy. I'm working on it. I'm praying about it. And maybe next time or another time that I can come, I can preach into that. But I want to tell you this morning that righteousness, peace, and joy are yours to receive. You just need to receive them. Now, I find that this personally works for me. Now, if I'm anywhere, it might be at home, might be at work, might all of a sudden feel that sensation of anxiety come over me, where I think, oh no, you know, how am I going to pay this? How am I going to do this? I stop. And I do this in my mind. I just step in to that supernatural peace. And I just go, God, I just thank you for your peace. Thank you for your peace. And that peace comes. And my heart is settled. I focus my attention on Jesus and the promise that he has left me. That my life is in his hands and he's taking me to a better place. That no matter what happens, no matter what happens in the circumstances of this life, I can have the peace of knowing that I'm his child and that he loves me and has made a way for me. Practice just stepping in. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for my peace. Just like the band to come and join me. I'd like this morning to pursue this a little. Are you up for this? I'd like this morning to be able to, let's pray together that 2021 be a year of revelation in righteousness, peace, and joy. So that you can receive and feel and experience righteousness, peace, and joy every day of your life. You know why? Because if you have confidence in this season, you will stand out. While the world around you is not knowing what's going on, is having anxiety and depression over what will happen to their lives, what will happen to their finances, what will happen to their families. If you have confidence and you have righteousness, peace, and joy, you will stand out. And this is our season to shine. This is our season to be a voice that's above. This is our season to be a voice of positivity, not negativity. This is our season. Our job as Christians in 2021 is to shine. It's a new season. God says in Isaiah 43:19, I'm doing a new thing. You like the way I just straight off the top of my head? Not really. This is our season. Let's pray. Thanks. Lord, I just thank you this morning that your desire for us is to live in righteousness, in peace, and in joy. But Lord, you don't want us to be people who live anxious and depressed. But you want us to be people who have a voice that's above. That is a voice of positivity. That you want us to shine. So Lord, I ask that you would minister righteousness, peace, and joy, and particularly supernatural peace to every person in this congregation this morning. We just declare and we speak peace. Thank you. finance, let them go. They're not for you to carry, they're His. Fears of employment, let them go. They're not yours to carry, they're His. Health fears, let them go. Receive His peace. Let them go. Receive His peace, His supernatural peace. He's got your family. You know, He's even got your family's eternity sorted. Let them go. They're not yours. They're His. Lord, I thank You this morning that You are our peace. There is nowhere else we could go on the face of this earth to receive Your peace other than Your presence. We receive that peace now, and we thank You for Your goodness. In Jesus' name. If you're here this morning and you've never connected your life to Jesus, I tell you, this is where it all starts. This is the foundation. If you've never received His forgiveness and released that sin, if you've never allowed Him to take away your guilt, if you've never connected yourself to His kingdom, you can do that this morning with a simple prayer, a simple heartfelt prayer. If there's anyone here this morning who's never connected your life to Jesus Christ, if you've never received the gift of righteousness, peace, and joy, if you've never taken on the forgiveness that Jesus offers, I want to give you the opportunity this morning. If that's you, just give me a wave this morning. I'd love to pray for you. Just pray for you right where you are. If that's you this morning. Now I'm going to presume that there's people here today who would like to make that decision, brave enough to put up their hand, and I'm going to pray a prayer. I want you all to pray it with me, but I want you to mean it in your heart. Lord Jesus, I thank You today that You died for me. You came and You died on the cross to release my sins. You purchased for me righteousness, peace, and joy on Your cross. You have a place for me in eternity, a place in heaven to spend eternity with You. I choose this morning to turn from my past, to not look back, and to take up the path of following You, Jesus. I receive You as